Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Unwatchables.
Today we are talking about Marvel's newest movie, Black Widow. It is the first Marvel movie of Phase 4. We've also had the Marvel shows.
No, Spider-Man Far From Home was the first movie of Phase 4.
Was it really, though?
Wait, was it not?
I thought Black Widow is the first of Phase 4. Wait, is Phase 4 everything after Endgame, or is Phase 4 just, like, everything after Far From Home?
I don't know. I think now that you're saying it, Far From Home is Phase 3, because I was really weirded out when they put it in Phase 3, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so I think this is the first movie of Phase 4. We've also had WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier, and Loki, and those are considered Phase 4, right? Are the TV shows considered?
Yes, those are okay. Phase 4.
So this is like our first step into the movie part of Phase 4. We've had our nice little side steps into the TV shows, and that was fun. But now we're back on track with the main attraction, which is the movies.
Yeah, and don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment if you like this video. Let's get started.
Okay, so the first thing is, just a warning, Connor and I have drastically different opinions.
Well, I'm gonna change that sentence, actually. It's weird, because a lot of our opinions are the same, yet somehow I ended up liking it, and you ended up not liking it.
Yeah, well, it's not that I didn't like it. It's just, I'll explain, like, my gripes about it later. But you're right. Like, we have the same complaints, we have the same likes, but the things you like a lot. The things I dislike, I absolutely do not like.
Yes, that is in fact what dislike means.
There's going to be a very even distribution of negativity and positivity in this video. But we'll start out with the things we like, just to make you guys happy at first.
All right, so I think it would be the best idea to begin where most movies begin, at the beginning.
Dun, dun, dun!
Wow, big surprise. I think the first 15 minutes of this movie legitimately set a tone that it did not follow up for the rest of the movie, and I'm saying that liking the movie, because the first, like, 15 or so minutes up until the end of, like, the start credits or whatever you call that, was so good. Like,
so good.
I don't know what happened to that part. Why did they have to get rid of it?
And I've seen a lot of different opinions when it comes to the song choice in the credits. It's smells like Team Spirit. Like, I honestly really like that song. I thought it really fit. But it seems like a lot of people did not like that song choice and thought it was extremely cheesy. But I don't know. I kind of liked it.
I don't know. I didn't think it was cheesy. I wasn't really listening to lyrics. They might have been cheesy, but it sounded cool.
Yeah, it did.
So, I can't judge. But yeah, like, the way they set up the whole family thing without really telling you what was happening, and he was, like, doing shifty things, and then they, like, gave them away, and then they had that whole montage of, like, the training. It was, like, super cool and, like, dark and mysterious, and they didn't hold that tone, sadly, but I still liked the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
All right. And then another thing that I really liked was the whole dynamic they had with their family that was sort of introduced in the, you know, in the beginning, but then I guess got totally changed by the fact that the whole thing was fake and a lie to trick them into thinking they were doing nice things and not being evil government, well, not government, evil pawns. But yeah, the family dynamic that they had throughout the rest of the movie was hilarious.
Yeah, apparently somewhere in Endgame there's a line about Natasha's dad, and that going into this movie you're supposed to know that these two are not her parents. But they had me fooled. I was totally convinced that these were her parents. I mean, their relationship seems so genuine. Like, young Natasha seemed like a little off, like a little suspicious of things, and like she was like glaring at them sometimes. I thought, oh, she's just an edgy teen. But I was fully convinced.
Yeah, in Endgame there's like a line when she's with the Red Skull on the Soul Mountain or whatever on Vormir, and he's like, oh, Natasha, son of whatever.
Son of?
Daughter of whoever. So I just automatically assumed, because she didn't know, she was like, wow, he knew my dad's name, that it wasn't him. But it was also like, wait. The first thought that ran through my head, honestly, was, wait, wasn't she not supposed to know who this was? So it was very convincing.
Yeah.
But yeah, throughout the rest of the movie, it was like, I don't know if relatable is the right word for it, because they're like crazy, like Russian, like spy assassins, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was really entertaining how even though they're like fighting each other and beating everybody up and shooting people and whatever, they still like act like continuously like a sort of dysfunctional family.
Yeah, I thought that Yelena kind of tied that entire thing together. I think she consistently had the best lines and the best moments, and she was like the annoying younger sister. And I just thought that her dynamic with basically everyone was great.
Yeah, Yelena was easily the best character and part of this movie. Like, she was really funny, but not in, like, a weird, pushy way.
Not like a Marvel way. Not like...
Yeah,
huh.
Not in, like, the... Like, you're up against the big bad guy, the nemesis of your life, and you're like...
Your mom.
Your mom. Yeah, that totally happened in a Marvel movie. I don't know, there was something like that in, like, Doctor Strange or something, like... Where I can't remember what he said, but he said something weird that didn't, it was kind of funny, but I don't know. Marvel has this way of like pushing humor into it just because, you know, like, and I don't really have a problem with this usually. I really enjoy Marvel humor, but it was nice that it wasn't like so super in your face. Like, it was more realistic.
Yeah, Marvel tends to use humor as a distraction from when moments get too dark. Like, if something is kind of like, kind of bordering on darkness, you'll have some crack a few jokes and then, you know, get back to the movie just to remind people that they won't get too dark.
Yeah, and then in like this, like the whole thing with like the vest or whatever with the pockets and the whole posing thing.
And also, by the way, quick side tangent, it's really funny that she was like wearing the vest thing in Infinity War. Like, well, funny and kind of touching, I guess, but like, when they were making this movie, who was just like, remember that jacket that Natasha was wearing in Infinity War? Well, let's make it her sister's and make a bunch of jokes about it, you know? And then it'll be nice and emotional, right? Sounds good. Or maybe, like, when they were making Infinity War, they were like, let's make a jacket they can make a story about. But, yeah, it's just... funny to me. It is pretty cool though, and I like that idea a lot, that they had that to, you know, put that little detail in there. It's pretty cool. But anyways, yeah, the comedy was like, well,
yeah,
it was very like, I could see that happening. I can't see like someone standing about to get their head bashed in like your mom or whatever.
Yeah, that posing scene where Florence Pugh did the pose and then just like, that was the few laugh out loud moments I've actually had with a Marvel movie ever. I thought that was just so good. It's because the humor was like, it was kind of down, you know, they didn't have a lot of humor. It wasn't everywhere. The characters who joked, it's reasonable that they'd be joking, kind of like the Red Guardian. He's this silly Russian guy and he's joking left and right. Florence Pugh is extremely sarcastic.
Well, not really joking. He just sort of is a joke.
He just kind of is a joke. He's the entire circus. But also you see, like, you don't see Black Widow or Natasha really joking around because it's not part of her character. She's just extremely... She'll do, like, snide remarks here and there. But she's not doing your mom jokes left and right. And I kind of like that they kind of made the humor a little more natural, I guess. Which kind of works with the whole natural family dynamic they all have.
Yeah, another, like, one of the scenes that was really good was the gulag scene or whatever, where he was like getting broken out of prison. Like,
yeah,
he was hilarious inside, first of all, and he was just like beating the crap out of all those guys in arm wrestling, and that poor guy got his arm snapped in half or whatever.
I know I'll get to the things I like in a bit, but I just want to say one thing. I actually really appreciate that they don't have David Harbour get absolutely destroyed. He is actually really strong. I was expecting him to be like this weak Captain America discount, but he's got some power. I mean, he's like jumping up walls, and I was like, oh, okay, he's kind of a big deal, and I kind of like that.
That is one question I had, is how did he become a super soldier in the first place? Because, like, in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it was like a really big deal that it was like really difficult to get it to work. So that's confusing to me.
I'm assuming like during World War II or the Cold War or something like that, they stole some serum. And that's basically what I think we're supposed to assume. Or Russia has, or the Soviet Union had their discount version of it.
But like, how do they steal serum when the whole thing is that it's really difficult to get right? So the U.S. couldn't even do it, really.
Well, I mean, they almost, they had a German, the Nazi spy, steal it in the first Captain America movie. And he almost got away.
I guess, yeah. So yeah, that was interesting. But that scene was, like, hilarious. Like, them, like, him, like, yelling at them. And then the scene right after, where they're, like, walking, and he's like, I have one question. Has Captain America ever said anything about... My Russian accent is so bad.
Has Captain America ever said something about me? That was even worse.
Debatably worse, which is weird, because don't you speak Russian?
I used to know a bit. But, you know, accents have never been my thing. Accents have never been my thing. Except Goofy. I can do a pretty good Goofy accent. Hey, Connor. Hey, Connor, do you want to hear my Goofy accent?
I really didn't need that. You know, I could have.
I'm Goofy.
I could have survived without that.
Oh, could you? Could you really?
It was good, that bit there. Like, there was some really funny stuff in there.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, this is basically like a totally irrelevant thought, but the music in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
It kind of popped. At some points, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of feeling this. It wasn't like tremendous music. It wasn't as good as other Marvel soundtracks like Black Panther or Infinity War, but I don't know, they just kind of fit. Like I remember just like bopping my head here and then like, ah, this is kind of popping.
Well, one thing Marvel's been doing good at lately, which is not a huge thing because it was like it's just been in two things for me recently, is they've been embracing, like, I don't know how to put this, sort of like the cultural music of the people.
Stylizing their theme.
They've been stylizing the music to the characters. Like, in this movie, they've just randomly got, like, Russian opera singing or whatever. I don't know what to call it. I don't know anything about Russian music. Just, like I know when the Taskmaster was driving around in the tank or whatever, it happened a lot. Like, it was sick. And then they're doing the same thing in Loki with the music, where it's, like, a lot of, like, Nordic music.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool, and I'm loving it so much, and I hope they keep it going.
Marvel composers are really good. They're very good.
Yeah, but they were never anything, like, super unique to me. It was just a lot of, like, the same
Except
sort of things.
I would argue Black Panther had... I think...
Oh, obviously, yeah. That's an obvious exception.
Yeah, and I think... Well, who's the guy who did, like, Infinity War, Endgame, all of those? It's like...
Alan Silvestri?
Alan, right? Silvestri, yeah. He is great. But... Overall, Marvel does a good job with their music.
Mm-hmm, but just I don't know why, I just have been really enjoying it recently because of those, like, stylizations and whatever.
Yeah, maybe you should move on to the thing that I will disagree with about the villain.
Oh, well, yeah. So, the villain of this movie isn't the greatest Marvel movie ever. He's nothing special. But you, like, all-out despised him. Well, I thought he was pretty interesting. Like, he was kind of a weak villain in some ways, but I don't know. I enjoyed the way they, like, built him up the whole time, and then you finally got to him, and he's, like, this, like, creepy, like, all-power. I guess it's a little bit cliche, kind of, but I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah, my problem is that I don't think he's a flat-out terrible villain. I just think he's very weak, which makes Taskmaster such a weaker villain. Because in order to appreciate Taskmaster in any way, you have to appreciate this bigger villain. And because I do not appreciate this bigger villain, Taskmaster can go in the Trashmaster. That was a terrible joke. I'll never say that again.
Yeah, what on earth is a Trashmaster?
I'm the garbage man. I'm the master of the trash. Fear me.
Behold. What? You have magic force powers? You can control fire? I am the Trashmaster.
I know it's... So, here's what I'm thinking. Whatever, you know, like how this guy has this weird fragrance thing where, like, Black Widow can't, if she smells him, then, you know, she can't harm him?
That was weird.
That has to be because as a child he was traumatized by the Trashmaster. The Trashmaster came around the block to pick up his trash, and he dumped the trash onto poor little pervy Russian guy. And I don't know where I'm going with this. Come on, I need counter.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you right
now. Continue the story. Continue the story. We have to keep going. Come on, don't leave me hanging.
But, I mean, I guess Taskmaster might have been kind of interesting if the villain was a much stronger villain.
Yeah. That's the thing. You can't have... You cannot have two bland... You cannot have two villains if one of the villains isn't a huge standout. You usually have two villains if one's a standout, but they don't do much. They're like the mastermind, and then you have the other villain to do all the dirty work. But in this, he wasn't even too much of a mastermind. He wasn't controlling many things. Well, he was controlling some things, but he wasn't like this really interesting villain, which gave room for Taskmaster to do all the cool stuff. So, I don't know.
So, I liked him, but I think the best way to describe him would sort of just to be like a placeholder for a cool concept.
Yeah.
Like, the guy himself wasn't anything special, but what he was kind of cool. I think they could have played him up a bit more, though.
Like, the idea that they're going against a person who absolutely ruined their lives, that is to be expected. Going into this movie, I expect if all the promoting about this movie is revisiting her past, I expect she's going to absolutely destroy the guy who ruined her childhood and her past. You know, that's to be expected.
It sort of plays into one of, like, my biggest problems with these movies, where, not these movies, this movie, which is, like, that, I don't know, it's that they just chose the wrong plot. Like, why not make it about him and her origin in this and, like, Budapest and all that? Why make it about this weird story of them, like, going to take him down a second time for, like, apparently no reason? They just randomly meet up and are like, let's go murder this dude.
Yeah. But they keep talking about Budapest with Hawkeye, and they keep talking about how, like, Budapest was crazy. We did all this cool stuff in Budapest. And I'm like, why can't we see this movie? That sounds so cool. You were blowing up buildings. You were stuck in, like, you were trapped in this building for days. You had to hide in this little hidey hole for days. You played tic-tac-toe for days. I want to see this movie. That sounds cool. But instead, we just get this stupid antidote plot.
It's so sad because they took away the opportunity to actually make something really interesting about Budapest by making this movie, because they sort of explained it now, so there's less intrigue.
Yeah, well, it seems like we're going to be getting into the negatives now, so just throwing it out there. Negativity is on its way. If you do not like opinions, you should probably just shut off this video, because opinions are coming, and they're coming hard. You still here? Good. Now let's talk opinions. Let's talk opinions.
Alright, give me your opinions. I gave you all my positives. I told you why I like this movie. Now you tell me why you don't like it.
How about you talk about why you don't like it, so I don't seem like an a-hole? You take all the blame. When the people in the comments are like, you guys are so stupid, you don't like this movie, I'm like, Who made all the points? Who made all the points about the bad stuff in this movie? Connor did. Not me. I am safe. Him. Blame him. He's guilty. Yeah, right over there.
Well, okay, I've already said that they made the wrong movie. Like, they could have given us all of that, and that's a disappointment. But this isn't even really a negative. I guess they sort of made the second best thing. Like, it would have been way more interesting to see all of that. But at least this plot, which I appreciate, sort of explained and showed the leftover emotions and did a good job. Like, I don't think a movie about her in the Red Room, like, coming up in it would necessarily be that interesting. So I feel like this movie did a good job handling that.
Yeah.
And making that something, like, consumable. Like, I don't want to see... Like, it would be cool to see a movie about her breaking out of it and doing Budapest. But I would... That would leave something to be wanted with the other parts of her in there. And I feel like this movie did a good job of handling that, you know?
Yeah, I just don't feel that this movie... Like, this span of time between Civil War and Infinity War, I just felt like the plot they chose just didn't fit that time span. Because at the end, and I'm just going to kind of trash the end right now, like, the ending scene, it was so sudden. Like the government guys were coming in, the Black Widowers are going off in the helicopter, and Yelena was like, hey, Natasha, you want to come with us? And then Natasha's like, nah, I gotta go be in Infinity War, catch you later, bitches, you know? And that just ends.
It's like all of a sudden, she's about to face all these government guys, and then it fades out, and they're like, shoot, how did she get to Infinity War? So then they fade back in on her with a new haircut, wearing her snazzy vest with lots of pockets, which she can put lots of things in, and this random British dude that was in the movie for basically no reason, just so they could explain why they had helicopters,
yep,
had a Quinjet? Where did he get a Quinjet from?
I don't know.
The government doesn't just let those be laying around.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. Also, now, like, I'll go back to the third act and everything, but now that we're talking about the ending, the extra ending, the end credit scene, I thought it started out very nice. I was like, okay, this is kind of sweet, where Yelena is visiting Tasha's grave. But then this lady comes up, and she's like, hey, want to kill the guy who kills your sister? And she's like, yeah, that sounds cool. I'm like, ah, come on, I was enjoying this moment. Why do you have to just come in here and ruin everything? Come on.
Well, the thing is, the post-credit scenes have always been their tools for, you know, setting things up and teasing things, getting you excited for more things. So it wouldn't be much of a post-credit scene. It would have been more like just a regular scene that you had to wait 15 minutes for if there wasn't some reveal in it and it was just her, like, looking at the grave.
But I would have been cool with that, you know? Maybe.
I think they could have made it more subtle, but it had to be there.
They could have had her at least, like, look at, like, they didn't, I don't think they needed this lady to come up and explain to her, hey, I'd like to talk to you about the extended Florence Pugh contract initiative with Marvel. You know, they have to be that on the nose about it. Hey, would you like to come and be in a Disney Plus TV show? You know, like, they could have had her at least, like, look, like, pull up an image on her phone or something with, like, Hawkeye's location or something like that. That would have been cooler. It would have seemed more like revenge instead of this lady coming up with this new TV show idea. It just seems so on the nose.
Plus, who is she and why does she keep showing up?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it would have been way cooler if she was self-motivated in that moment. Like, she made that decision.
Yeah.
But I am very, very happy that she's coming back because I liked her character a lot and the actress was really good.
Yeah.
So I'm glad she didn't just, like, make it through one movie and then gone forever.
Yeah. So. Our main theory was that, I know this was kind of like a really popular theory, but Yelena was going to be Taskmaster. And
that was a popular theory? I thought that was just me.
I'm pretty sure it was very popular. And I'm kind of glad that she's not Taskmaster because I love her character too much. However, if they did do something with Taskmaster, they could have made Taskmaster interesting if Yelena was Taskmaster. And then she would actually have lines, you know?
Who Taskmaster was could have been interesting if she just had one scene where she spoke. But no, instead this guy was just like, yeah, you killed my daughter. I have to put chip in her. And now she evil robot that copy movements, even though she barely copy movements. So you just end, was he even Russian? I can't remember. You just end up with this stupid faceless character who we don't even care about, his daughter. Like, why would we care about that? It makes no sense for us to even be bothered.
Also, how the heck did she survive that explosion? I mean, she's like a 10-year-old girl. She's in the middle of this explosion, and she comes out with just a little burn on her face. I'm like, what? You look fine.
Well,
what
the heck is this? Her eyes were also screwed up.
Yeah, but she should, like, all her skin should be gone. And not only that, she should be dead. Like, she should have, like, she if she had, like, robotic parts or something, I'd understand it. That's basically what they do with Cyborg in Justice League. But she looks fine. Like, she's just a little disfigured, but it's no, like, actual physical problems. Like, what?
Well, to be fair, you don't know what her the rest of her body's like under the suit. That could be all that was left.
But they could have showed us at least, you know? Because now I feel like, so, are you all fine underneath? Like, is everything fine? Because you were in the middle of the explosion when you had no powers. You were just this regular kid. You got blown up, but you're fine. I just don't get it.
I think we could easily agree that Taskmaster was easily the most disappointing and sad part of the movie, even though we have very different opinions.
Yeah. Agreed.
But another thing, speaking of people who should be dead, one thing that made no sense to me is that throughout this entire movie, Black Widow was getting yeeted off buildings and dropped into rivers and literally skydiving without a parachute, and she survived and getting thrown into beams and explosions and cars flipping 40 times and falling off a cliff, and she survives all that, but she can't survive a little cliff falling in Endgame.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you can make up some kind of crap about how, like, oh, but she had to die to get the stone, so she just let herself die. Or the only reason she really died because of that fall, it wasn't actually because of the fall. She just had to die. It's like symbolism or something. But shut up, nerds who say that. It makes no sense.
And the thing that really is weird is I actually appreciate that this movie had some pretty dark kills. Like that time when Yelena was stabbing that other lady and she, like, tore the knife out of her. I was like, okay, that's kind of dark. And then when the other lady falls from the building into the water and, like, her leg is just 180s. Like, I'm like, okay, that's
poor Conor McGregor.
Yeah, poor Conor McGregor. I thought that was like, okay, that's kind of dark. But then, and then you have, like, these realistic deaths. But then you have Black Widow just skydiving without a parachute, just surfing this building midair, and then she's just fine.
Like, how do you at least not break a few limbs?
Yeah.
I like to call this the Tom Cruise problem. Because in Mission Impossible, he very commonly ends up in hundreds of situations where he should be dead, and then, in the climax, he has to climb up sheer rock faces in 4 seconds that are like 25 feet up, and he somehow does it.
Yeah. Well, that's not much. I think it's a bit different in Mission Impossible, because in Mission Impossible, you can see that he's getting hurt. Like, he breaks bones, he's all bloodied up. But the thing is, he does, like, really impressive stunts, like his skydives, he climbs buildings, cliffs. But in this, she's just getting thrown around like a rag doll, you know? Like, she's a regular human. She's not Hulk, she's not Thor, she's not Captain America. She's just a regular human. She doesn't have superhero strength. She has guns. That's basically it.
After the first 15 minutes set, like, a sort of darker tone, I expected it to keep that, and it was a very good opportunity for Marvel to suddenly make a darker movie, and they sort of held on to that halfway in a weird way that didn't turn out so well.
Yeah, I kind of feel that the third act just absolutely dropped the ball. not absolutely dropped the ball. There were a few things that I was okay with. I just thought it was extremely weak. And I think one of the things you'll agree with is movies having plans and then they're only revealed later in like this huge twist. You don't know what's going on, but then suddenly like, they're like, ha, psych, it was me all along. It was Agatha all along.
Well, that was funny. I was really enjoying that scene with Natasha and the villain guy or whatever, where he was revealing his plan, which I don't know why supervillains do that, but he was like revealing his plan and he had totally destroyed her plan and she couldn't even fight him because he smelled funny. And then she's like, oh, but ha ha ha, this was actually our plan. Like, what?
It's like the meme, you may have outsmarted me, but I outsmarted, you're outsmarting. You know, it's just...
Like, maybe if we already knew they knew that, but it just feels like they knew every problem that they were going to encounter before it happened without telling us, and then they just had a fix for it.
Yeah, I did kind of like how when David Harbour was, like, confessing his... all, like, he was having this touchy-feely thing. Not touchy-feely thing. He was, like, having a discussion on feelings in his jail cell when he thought it was Natasha, but it wasn't Natasha. I thought that was funny. He was like,
and it was even funnier because it kept happening. Because then he tried to do it in the earpiece, and she's like, "You don't have an earpiece." And then that was a joke that actually paid off on like the whole Captain America thing we talked about.
Yeah, which is actually funny because one of the weird things that happened in Endgame is where suddenly everyone has an earpiece and they can talk to each other from across the battlefield. But in this, they don't have earpieces. I'm like, yes. You need earpieces to talk to people. You being a superhero doesn't automatically mean that you have an earpiece implanted into your ear. This is not how it works. Thank you, movie. Thank you. But besides that, David Harbour was kind of wasted. He had lots of funny moments. Lots of funny moments. He had a fight scene, even. He had an actual enjoyable fight scene at the prison. I thought that was pretty cool. But this didn't do much with him. He was this kind of blundering fool who kind of was more trouble than use. He wasn't really useful to them.
I didn't really have any problems with it, to be honest, most of this movie, up until they started making their plan with his, like, once, until they got to the family, like, stopping after that scene, I enjoyed almost all of that and liked almost all of that that happened before there. Like, obviously, I'm sad they didn't make the Budapest thing, but up until there, it was pretty solid, and that whole gulag thing was really fun.
Yeah. Like I said, there were a lot of things that I did like. It's just the things I disliked is Marvel at its worst. All the bad Marvel tendencies have seeped into this movie, but then a lot of the good things, a lot of the times when Marvel is more grounded, that's also here.
You know, I honestly think David Harbour's character should have died, though. Like, because up until that, it would have sort of fixed the whole, yeah, he was just sort of useless thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, he didn't even beat the Taskmaster. He got his butt handed to him.
Yeah.
So...
and it seems like he's trying to constantly impress people, saying he fought Captain America, and we don't even know if that's real or not. Like, he says it in the prison, then he says it again, and then the third time he's fighting Taskmaster, who has a Captain America shield, and he should be like, did you know I fought Captain America? But then, like, him dying, he can have, like, a revelation, I've just been useless this entire time, I didn't fight Captain America. Or maybe he did, you know, maybe he did fight Captain America, we don't know. But they could have done something actually interesting with his character.
I was thinking more of, like, a death where, like, oh, yeah, guys, I've kind of sucked this whole time. Didn't really do much against Captain America or this guy. But here I can finally do my thing.
Yeah.
And then he sacrifices himself. And that would make him like, yeah, he was kind of useless, even though he was extremely funny. Like, the Frostbite Fingers story.
But then it would confirm that he did fight Captain America.
And yeah, that would have been a good payoff.
Yeah.
If he's like, yeah, I lost.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a really good payoff. But... yeah, we didn't get that. He just made it out fine.
Yeah.
That is a problem I like to call having no balls. That is how I describe the fact where people should, could, or do kill characters, but then they're actually alive at the end. They did the same thing with Florence Pugh, except I liked that because I really liked her.
Yeah, I think in some movies, fake killing people's fine if it really fits the narrative and it's part of like the overall theme. But other movies, they'll just kill them and then bring them back because they need the money. And I don't like that. Sometimes if it really works with the narrative.
Well, a lot of the time they just do it for shock factor and then like it's like, boo, oh, what? They're dead? Oh, wait, 2 seconds later, they're not dead. We just tricked you.
It seems like what they're doing with Hopper and Stranger Things. You know? Like, they just have his death scene for shock value. But I do think it will kind of push the plot forward a bit because they're going to have to go to Russia now. But it kind of seems like shock value. Oh, no, he's dead.
Well,
oh,
he's probably going to be, like, brainwashed or something.
Yeah, but, oh, here's the teaser trailer. Oh, he's okay, you know? But also, I know you're going to disagree with this a lot, but I thought that the fight scenes in this movie were incredibly dull. I thought there were 2 fight scenes and a few moments that I did like. I thought that the Florence Pugh versus Yelena versus Natasha fight scene in the building was pretty cool because they like were copying each other and stuff. And then I really liked the prison escape. I thought all of that was pretty cool. But then all the other fight scenes, mainly especially the ones with Taskmaster, who was hyped up as like this absolute killer, like he would have all these sick moves and the fight scenes would be really cool, but I was just not impressed. Like, they used tons of quick edits and the choreography wasn't that impressive. I don't know, I just wasn't impressed, because here's the thing with average movies. I do think this was an average movie, but many average movies will have a lot of rewatchability if the action scenes are particularly good. You know, if the action scenes are real standouts, then I might watch it again. You know, you can look at the John Wick movies. As like, they don't have good plots, they don't have great characters or dialogue, but the action scenes are pretty damn good, and people will be going back for those action scenes. And I feel like this movie had the opportunity to make Taskmaster have some of the best action scenes Marvel's ever shown, but they just didn't ever like set up the opportunity for it.
Yeah, like they were hyping up this whole "they can copy whatever you do" power, or sorry, I should say in the Russian accent, "they can copy whatever you do." That's so bad. But it was kind of cool in the first scene where Natasha first saw the Taskmaster or whatever. Taskmaster or whatever. But then after that, it was just like a regular fighter, but like somehow better.
Sometimes he had a bow and arrow. Sometimes he had claws.
Why are you saying he?
Sorry, it's fine. Sometimes she had a bow and arrow. Sometimes she had a sword. Sometimes she had claws. Sometimes she had a shield. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. She didn't do anything particularly interesting with that. You know? So what? So what, she has a bow? So what, she has a sword? So what, she has claws? Are we supposed to go, "oh, look, it's the Black Panther claws, ooh"? I don't care. It's the Black Panther claws, so what?
The fighting in this movie, I'm not a huge analyzer of, like, cinematography or choreography. I'm just like, oh, they're beating each other up, fun. But it wasn't, yeah, like, I can see why you might have had a problem with it, but I didn't really think it was anything game breaking. It was like, yeah, they're beating each other up, what else do you want
to
see?
But like action scenes are supposed to be dynamic. You're supposed to really feel the punches. When someone gets like punched, you're supposed to feel like, oh, that's gotta hurt. When you see someone get slammed to the floor, you're like, ooh, that's gotta hurt, you know? Like, for example, let's think of a good one. Like the Infinity War fight scene. Like Thanos versus the Avengers. That was really good because it was visually dynamic and it was creative. These fight scenes were not visually dynamic or creative. They were quick edit, punchy punchy fights. And punchy-punchy fights are all good sometimes. Some of my favorite fights are punchy-punchy fights. Like the bathroom scene of Mission Impossible Fallout, that's one of my favorite fight scenes in a movie ever. But these were just so uninteresting.
The one fight that I really didn't enjoy was the one with Taskmaster and David Harbour. Like, they didn't really show anything happening. They were just sort of fighting, and then they weren't fighting anymore. And then, like, his wife was there, who was also really useless. Like, what did she... I guess they just needed a person who could get them in.
Yeah.
I didn't get her. I feel like she was unnecessary.
Yeah. Like, I think it would have been cool if maybe Natasha was in the prison with David Harbour, and maybe her mom did have to have this psychological battle with whatever his name is, you know, creepy pervy guy. That would have been cool. And then somehow Natasha escapes. But instead, she's just used... They just use her... Her only importance to the movie is using her face to get into this place, and now they no longer need her.
And explaining the technology by choking out that poor pig.
Yeah. And also, one thing that... This isn't really a problem I have, but I feel like the whole creepiness of the Black Widow program and the Red Room program is gone once they make all the Black Widows just mindless drones. Like, Natasha's story is that she was psychologically abused to a point where she would do all these things, you know? She wasn't mind controlled. But now they just have all these guys be mind controlled. It just doesn't feel as creepy. It just feels like, oh, mind control. Oh, now we have the antidote to fix all the mind controlling, you know? And then snap of the fingers, oh, they're better. It's just so much cooler if these people are extremely traumatized, but they still, like, go along with the evil guys because they're terrified of them, you know?
Well, they needed a way to win is the best way I could explain that to you.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way for them to suddenly untraumatize or well, it would have been way more interesting if that's what they had to do. It wouldn't just be like, get the antidote to this place in this time and crash this thing.
If this movie came out before Infinity War, they could have had, like, the end of the arc with these Black Widows having them fight some point in Infinity War. You know? It's just this movie's timing just feels so wrong. It just doesn't fit.
Yeah, where was, like, Yelena and David Harbour in Endgame and Infinity... Like, I can see Infinity War, but why not pull up, you know?
Yeah.
If Howard the Duck can be there in Endgame, you can be there.
And here's the thing. Are we supposed to assume that Yelena's going to die in the Hawkeye show? Are we supposed to assume that? Because I feel like Nat would have had her around at least sometime in Endgame, you know?
Well, Hawkeye's after Endgame, though.
Is it?
Yeah, it's about him and his daughter.
So it takes her, but she's going to be part of the show. So it takes her that long to find him?
I don't know, maybe she couldn't find him and then he got dis- It's so pointless. It's so, well, it's not pointless, but it's really confusing.
It takes her 6 years to find him?
I'm going to assume she got dusted just for the sake of it.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
So that takes... But still, there was plenty of time between Civil War and Infinity War.
Yeah. I mean, enough time for Cap to grow out his beard and to get that sick haircut.
Why did he shave his beard?
I don't know. Character development.
It was dope. But yeah, it's just such... It's so poorly placed, you know?
Yeah. I like to think of his Infinity War beard as his, like, quarantine beard. And then once he leaves quarantine in Endgame to go out and do all this time travel stuff, he has to shave it. It's like, oh, I have to go back to work now. Okay.
Not sure what that has to do with how poorly placed Black Widow was, but yes, I agree. So, do you have any more, like, negatives or positives or anything?
I don't know. Let's just give it our... Out of 17 rating, what would you give it?
13.5 out of 17.
Give it like a a 10 out of 17. I just wasn't impressed.
Ooh, that's harsh.
It is harsh. Like I said, there were things I liked. The first 15 minutes were great. The family dynamic, great. Yelena, great. Music, great. Prison scene, great. Acting, great. And not much else. I thought it was extremely average.
I think we can both agree on that. And that brings up the problem. Like, at this point, with Marvel, is average okay? Like,
I just don't think so. Not at all. The room for average passed when Ant-Man and the Wasp came out. That should have been the last one. Because that was before Infinity War. It was before Endgame. And everything like that. So, now that they're really getting into all this post-Endgame stuff, they're moving into multiverse, you can't really have average things, because I feel like every single movie is going to be so important from now on, excluding Black Widow, because Black Widow was supposed to come out years ago. You know?
Well, you know, I like this movie. I've said that already. I'm fine with average. But this is a weird... I can see... I'm fine with movies in the future being average, but there are certain movies that can't be. And this was one of them, because people have been wanting this for years, and it's been such a mystery of her past. And then it's average?
It seems like they released it, like, because out of duty. Like, they promised it. So, they promised it. They promised that a Black Widow movie was coming for so long. And they can't back out now because they already promised it. And they're like, just throw this movie. Just throw this movie together quickly. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, here you guys go. Do you enjoy it? And then most of the Marvel fans will go, yeah, we enjoy it. And then the people who actually think about it are like, you know, it was fine, but is this really the best you could do for Black Widow? You know?
Like, it was a good movie, but in the way... Well, I think it was. You obviously are not of the same mind. But in the way it was placed, like, it would have been better coming out in, like, 2017.
I'm not going to argue that it's a bad movie. I just don't think it's a good one. And that means it's an average movie.
I honestly would call it a good movie if it wasn't such an important place to have a really good movie.
Like, I can see why people would call it a good movie. I just don't think, because Marvel movies are so connected, this is such an important movie for her. I just don't think being average, or I don't think their execution in this manner can equal a good movie. Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say, though. You're saying the exact thing same thing I was just trying to say.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that brings us to the end of our discussion. We have drastically different opinions. There are very mixed opinions. But I still am looking forward to the rest of Marvel Phase 4's content, because I do believe, starting with Spider-Man, No Way Home, and then Multiverse of Madness, and then Thor Love and Thunder, I think they
I'm excited for Shang-Chi, too. That comes before that. That comes out in, like, a month.
I think they have a really solid schedule coming out, and they're all creative movies. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. And if you guys are looking forward to it, tell us about it. You know, we have the comment section open. As we say, you can do two things. You can comment on our video, or you can absolutely destroy us. I mean, going hard.
You know, before I let everybody go, one more thing I noticed with the post-credits scene is that they're taking one more step to filling the shoes of all the dead Avengers. Like, you've got Peter Parker as the new Iron Man. You've got Sam Wilson as the new Captain America. Now here we've got Yelena or Florence or whatever her name is as the new Black Widow.
Wasn't the whole point of Far From Home that Peter was figuring out that he did not have to be the next Iron Man? He has had to be the best Spider-Man he could be.
Well, I'm not saying he's gonna be Iron Man. I'm just saying he's still gonna be filling Tony Stark's shoes in a way.
Okay, like the...
I'm just saying they're like filling the shoes of every character. They're not like literally taking on their mantras right. or whatever.
Except Sam.
Well, in some cases.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I already like Yelena more than I've ever liked Black Widow.
Yeah.
I was never interested.
But anyway, that's it for us. like, comment, subscribe.
Do you think this movie was worth? Do you think this movie was worth that 2-year hype wait?
Nah.
It was supposed to come out like late 2019 or early 2020,
nah.
Right?
Nah. Not worth it at all. But David Harbour was funny, as always. So that's a thing. Anyway, that's us. That's our opinion on Black Widow. Like, comment, subscribe. I'll try not to say that to you again because I know it's kind of annoying and you're probably more likely to not like, to not comment, and to not subscribe if I tell you to like, comment, subscribe. So, yeah, peace. Bye.
Don't forget to check out the extended version of this conversation on our podcast, which will be in the description, maybe in the comments, but you can find it wherever you pod your casts, you know. I can't believe I just said that. But yeah, be sure to check that out because this conversation had to be cut down a lot to fit into this YouTube format. We ranted for a long, long time. So be sure to check that out if you're interested in any more of our thoughts. Bye.